Our reading from the Gospel comes today from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 34. This is found on page 867 of the Pew Bibles. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 34. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." And with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Amen. who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus says that twice in this passage. He says that in other places in Scripture as well. Do you have ears to hear? Are you listening to Jesus? Are you obeying Him? Are you heeding His word, which He has proclaimed Himself and even through His apostles and prophets? Sadly, people often hear Jesus without actually hearing Him. The words might go in one ear and out the other. Sometimes people don't understand Jesus' words, but think they do. Sometimes people do understand His words, but refuse to believe them. Sometimes people understand His words and even know them to be true, and yet still reject Him out of a willful disobedience. Do you have ears to hear? Jesus calls you to listen, to hear, to respond. He calls you to seek out His word, learn it, apply it to your life, and live it out. That's what we see Jesus doing in this passage in parables. This passage teaches us a well-known fact that Jesus regularly taught in parables to the people. But look at what this passage says about Jesus' parables. It says that when Jesus teaches in parables, that there is an element of His teaching that is veiled for some and not veiled for others. As we'll see in verses 11 through 12, this is even intentional by Jesus. This can be a tough truth to grasp. And yet Jesus' words powerfully describe what we see in reality. That when God's word goes forth, some understand it, believe it, and respond, and some do not. Jesus gives us a sort of behind-the-scenes look at how He graciously reveals the mystery of the kingdom of God to some, intervening in their lives, while to some He allows to remain in their hardness of hearts. To some, He allows the gospel to remain veiled so that they remain in their rejection and rebellion against God. And so for some, Jesus' words are words of grace and new life. And for some, they serve as a word of judgment and damnation. And so stay with me as we walk through this passage and look at this important truth presented here by Jesus. As we look at this truth, we'll learn more about how parables function in Jesus' teaching. And we'll also be reminded of Christ's call for each of us to seek after Him and His Word. We'll be reminded of the importance to not only audibly hear these parables by Jesus with our ears, but to wrestle with them in our hearts, to really grapple with them inwardly, that we might be changed by the power of Christ's Word in our lives. And so our passage begins today with Jesus telling the parable of the sower in verses 1 through 9 to a great multitude. In this parable, Jesus talks of a man sowing seeds, and that as this man sows, there are seeds that fall into several different places. Some of the seed falls by the wayside, some on stony ground, some among thorns. These three places prove to be unsuitable for the seed to grow and bear a crop. But some of the seed also falls on good ground, yielding a bountiful harvest. This is an important parable, and yet when Jesus finishes telling it, it doesn't seem that He explains it to the crowd. Instead, in verse 9, He finishes by saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And yet we are privileged to receive Jesus' explanation of this parable in verses 13 through 20. But that's not given to the multitude. It's given to the 12 and a few other disciples who are with them. Look at verse 10. "Later, when Jesus was alone, those around Him with the 12 asked Him about the parable." In other words, His disciples had heard this parable and it left questions in their minds. They came to Jesus in order to get their questions answered. This is an important thing to understand about parables. They often leave questions in your mind. Some people point to Jesus' use of parables as an example of why we should use illustrations in our sermons. Well, I do think illustrations are helpful in our sermons, but I don't think that Jesus' parables are a proof text for that. Some people might say, see, Jesus used parables to help produce, that he used parables so that people would better understand the message. And that's true, but only in a certain sense. You see, when Jesus told a parable, he was using an earthly example to describe a heavenly truth. As we see in verse 30, parables are a picture or a comparison between something we can relate to with something unknown. Parables compare our human experiences with spiritual truths in order to help us better understand those truths. They can be vivid and very helpful in driving home a point. And so they certainly do help in our learning of truth. And yet we have to recognize the other side of parables as well. That is that they often leave questions in our minds. Typically, parables spark the imaginations and get us to ask questions about the meaning of the parable. Often these questions go unanswered in our minds and beg for an interpretation. In other words, when Jesus tells a parable, there's often a way he could have said the same truth more clearly. That's what we see in verses 13 through 20 when Jesus then goes and explains the parable of the sower more clearly for his disciples. And yet we don't see Jesus typically explaining his parables to the crowds. According to verse 34, he regularly taught in parables to the crowds, but it was only with his disciples that he actually explained them. That's a big difference. Parables really lose a lot of their clarity and communication if they're not explained. As much as they can illustrate truth, if they're not explained and their meaning is not correctly pursued, they can serve to veil the truth instead of clarifying it. Just think about today. How many times have you heard someone describe a parable with the craziest interpretation? Or sometimes people might take a parable and make it just some mere moral lesson that is void of any greater eternal significance. This is despite the fact that Jesus' parables typically taught about the kingdom of God. And so they had a greater, bigger picture than just some basic moral lesson. And so there's a twofold sense of parables and their use. In one sense, parables can serve to veil truth. And in another sense, they can serve to unveil truth. Both of these senses are revealed in this passage. Let's look first at how this passage shows how parables can veil the truth. Look at verse 11. Here Jesus explains his use of parables to the disciples. Jesus said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Jesus clearly acknowledges here that parables can veil truth to some people. He says that the truth in these parables is veiled to some with the result that they won't truly perceive and understand the truth, even though they might hear the parable with their ears. So to whom is this truth in a parable veiled? Jesus says that it is to those who are outside. Verse 11. Outsiders. Who are these outsiders? Well, in one sense, we can say that the outsiders are those who do not respond to God's word. It is those people who have hardened their hearts against God and have rejected God's truth. Because of this, these outsiders are those people who are under the judgment and condemnation of God. So that's one sense in who the outsiders are. And yet, of course, this same definition could be applied to the followers of Jesus as well. Christians have also hardened their hearts against God. We too have rebelled against God. But the difference for Christians is that God has chosen to radically intervene in their lives. This is a doctrine of election at work. God did not leave His chosen people in their sins, but He performed an intervention. He broke our hard hearts and gave us new ones. He made us alive spiritually. He made us born again. He made us insiders instead of outsiders. That's what's so amazing about grace. To help explain this distinction, Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah. That's where this quote comes from when he says, "Seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." That's from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. We read that earlier in the service. And if you look at the context of this quote from Isaiah, you'll find that this is the passage where God is calling Isaiah to be His prophet to the people of Israel. God is telling Isaiah that part of his prophetic ministry will fall on deaf ears. God is telling Isaiah that though he will preach to the people, his preaching will largely be ignored. And the people will receive the judgment promised in the Old Covenant. God tells Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 11, that the result will be judgment on Israel, so that their cities will be laid waste and the people will be forsaken. And yet God then prophesies of a remnant of Israel that He will preserve, a holy seed that will persevere. And so by quoting this passage from Isaiah, Jesus is acknowledging that His teaching in parables will fall on deaf ears to many. He is acknowledging that for some, His parables will stand as a judgment against those people. Some will misunderstand them. Some will ignore them. Some will outright reject them. Yet all who are outsiders are those who have repeatedly shown the rebellion against God. And their stumbling over these parables is just one expression of that rebellion. And of course, this rebellion and rejection is exactly what we see in the Gospels. Jesus' teaching is rejected by those who are outsiders, by those who are not God's chosen people, which of course led to the cross. This led to Jesus, the Son of God, the very man who had come miraculously healing the sick and liberating the demon-possessed. This led to Him being betrayed, beaten, crucified. And so to those who are outside, the parables serve to veil the truth. They serve to announce impending judgment against them. Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Those who are outside should heed the call to seek out the truth in these parables. But instead, they ignore and reject the call to hear. But saints of God, take heart. These parables do not only serve to veil the truth, but also to unveil the truth. That's what Jesus says in verse 21. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus is talking about His ministry and message. He has come to proclaim the word of the coming kingdom of God. That's what He's proclaiming in the parables. And in this picture of a lamp in verse 21, He is saying that His message is not to be brought to be veiled, but to be displayed. It's what the analogy of the lamp says. You don't light a lamp just to hide it. If you hide a lit lamp, The lamp won't shine, so why light it? No, Jesus says, you light a lamp and put it on a lampstand so that its light would shine forth. So this is an interesting contrast with what he said earlier. Earlier he talked about how parables veiled his words to those who are outsiders. And now he uses this analogy of the lamp to say how he has brought his words not to be veiled, but to be proclaimed and heralded. So how did Jesus' parable serve to unveil truth? Our text points to two ways. One, there is a sense in which some have ears to hear. Verses 9 and 23 both say that he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That idea is clarified in verse 11 when Jesus says to his disciples that to the disciples, the mystery of the kingdom of God has been revealed. This is again the doctrine of election at work. In other words, we see God working in his people's lives to enable them to rightly understand the parables. That is why whenever we study God's Word, we pray that the Lord would open our hearts and minds to understand His Word and to receive His teachings. We recognize that we need God to work in us that we would truly understand and receive His teachings. We recognize that our depraved minds and hearts will not otherwise rightly respond to His teachings. We need Jesus to reveal to us the mystery of the kingdom of God. A second way in which Jesus' parables serve to unveil truth is through Jesus explaining them to us. We see that Jesus explained the parable of the sower to the disciples. And in verse 34, it says that he explained the parables regularly to them. The disciples would hear the parables that were given to the multitudes, and then in private, Christ would explain to them the significance of the parables. Now, of course, Scripture has not recorded for us each of these explanations. But the Gospels do give us commentary on Jesus' ministry, and so does the rest of the New Testament. And so Scripture offers for us insight into how to rightly interpret the parables so that their meaning would not be veiled to us. And again, that's why we pray that Christ's Spirit would open our minds and hearts so that we could rightly understand and apply these parables to our lives. We rely on the Spirit to illumine our minds to understand the parables. Think about the great love that this is shown by Christ here for His people. Though he taught to the multitudes in parables, to His disciples He would take aside and explain all things to them. And if you are a Christian, then you are His disciples. He continues to explain His Word to His disciples. He does this through His Spirit, which He has sent to teach us His Word. He does this even through the shepherds that He has appointed to proclaim and explain His Word to His people. Christ cares for us, His disciples, and is continually revealing His truth to us through His Word. And so, stop for a moment and think about what Jesus is saying here in this passage. One moment He is saying how parables veil the truth. Another moment He is saying how parables can unveil the truth. Which is it? Is Jesus contradicting Himself here? Certainly not. Rather, He's describing how when God's Word goes forth, for some it serves to open their minds and hearts and bring them to Christ. And for others, it serves as a judgment and testimony against their hardness of hearts. This is actually what the parable of the sower is all about. That's why Mark highlights this parable and records Jesus' explanation of it. Understanding the parable of the sower is crucial for understanding how all of Jesus' parables work. That's what Jesus Himself says in verse 13 when He admonishes His disciples for not understanding this parable. In verse 13 He says, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" So Jesus is expressing the importance of understanding this parable in order to understand the other parables. You see, the parable of the sower explains how Jesus' word is received by people. We mentioned that there were four different places that the seed was sown: the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. Jesus explains that this seed is His word, and that the four different places that the seed is sown represents four different kinds of people and four different kinds of responses. And essentially, the first three places represent those people who are the outsiders, those who persist in their rebellion and unbelief. Though some of them may appear to have some faith for a time, they ultimately show themselves to not truly receive and understand the word. There is no true fruit born in these people. These three groups of people are ultimately the ones whom the truth of God's word is veiled. The parables fall on deaf ears when they come to these people. For them, the very fact that they externally hear the word but do not truly receive it internally only serves as a testimony against them. They are like the seed that was sown that didn't take. But the fourth group, those who receive the sown word as in good soil, this group are those people who truly receive and understand Christ's words. They understand the parables and apply them to their lives. These are true believers, people for whom God's word is not veiled. The parables have meaning for these people. By God's grace, they are enabled to understand the parables and all of God's word and respond to it in faith and repentance. The result is a bountiful harvest. The result is a crop. And of course, this crop is representative of God's blessings and His growth of Christian fruit in our lives. Trinity Presbyterian Church, what do the parables mean to you? Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." If you believe in Jesus and His words to you, then you are those with ears to hear. If so, then Christ's parables do not serve to veil the truth, but to reveal it. And yet, if you do not believe, then I call you to turn from your rebellion today and come to Jesus. Pray that your ears would be open to hear God's word. Pray that God's truth would not be far from you, but that you would seek after it and delight in it. And that is exactly what God calls us all to do today. Jesus' call for those with ears to hear, let him hear, is a command. It's an exhortation. It's an admonition. It's acknowledging that the parables have meaning that has to be sought out. You have to think about the message. You have to consider the message. You have to weigh it in your hearts and minds. You have to go to Jesus and ask Him to explain it to you. That's what we see the disciples doing. That's what we need to be doing ourselves. Parables, by their very nature, need to be explained. They need to be interpreted. Jesus is calling us to seek out their meaning. And Jesus calls us to do that with all His truth. It doesn't take too much work to realize that there are all sorts of strange views that are out there about the Bible and about Jesus' teachings. But is every interpretation and every strange belief about Jesus correct? For example, can the same parable have different contradictory explanations? No. In our day and age, there's a postmodern love for relativism. The idea of absolute truth is a dying notion. People will read something and ask, "What does it mean to you?" Now, certainly, application of Scripture will speak to you personally and individually. But that doesn't mean that God's truth is relativistic. There are fundamental absolute truths in Scripture. There are right interpretations and wrong ones. We must seek out what God is intending to say in His holy word. We must do that with the parables. We must do that with all God's word. Just because we are fallible and sometimes err in our interpretations doesn't mean that we should not continue to seek out the meaning of Scripture and pray all the more, Lord, give us wisdom and insight as we read your word. And so Jesus' call for those with ears to hear, let him hear, is a command. It's a command to seek out the truth and meaning of Jesus' parables and in all of Scripture. But as we do so, may we do so with great humility and reliance on God. Don't be proud of your personal growth as a Christian. Don't take pride in your understanding of God's Word in the sense of giving credit to yourself for your great insights. Don't take pride in your ability to live out God's Word in the sense of giving credit to yourself for your growth in godly living. No. Give glory to God. As you grow in your knowledge and understanding of His Word, praise Him. For as we've seen here today, it is God who has intervened in our lives. It is God who gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. It is God who awakens us that we could read and understand His Word. It is God who softens our hearts that we would respond to His Word, so that we would learn to delight in His commandments, even when our old natures want to resist His words. And have that same attitude when you outreach and evangelize. As you bring God's Word to the world, there too you must do so with great humility and reliance upon God. Don't be proud, or even worse, arrogant in how you reach out to others who are not Christians. Who are we to be arrogant when we ourselves have only understood and responded to God's Word because of His intervening grace in our lives? Who are we to think of ourselves better than someone else? We must be humble servants of God who recognize how much we have been forgiven. We must have that constantly before us. That doesn't mean we ignore unbelief. It doesn't mean we give approval to sin. It doesn't mean that we don't stand firm on the rightly interpreted Word of God. It doesn't mean that we give any audience to any and every crazy idea that people call an interpretation of Scripture. But it does mean that as we go forth to those around us with God's Word and seek to explain it to others, that we do so with an attitude of humility, compassion, charity. We can be bold and zealous while at the same time being humble and loving. I would also like to direct you to another important exhortation by Jesus in this passage. Look at verse 24 through 25. Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Jesus calls us to take heed. To take heed. Literally in the Greek it is, see what you hear. See what you hear. We're to be looking at what we hear. We're to pay attention to it. We're to carefully consider it. In other words, God's Word brings responsibility. We need to not only listen and understand it, we must also strive to obey it. We must apply the Word to our lives and then pour it out to others. We have been given the Word not just to academically learn some truths about God. We have been entrusted with the Word. We must live it out ourselves and give it to others. We must shine forth the light of God's Word, just as Jesus shines His light as a lamp on a lampstand. And He tells us that as we take heed to His words, that we'll be given more. Jesus, again, in verses 24 through 25, has two kinds of people in view. There are some who understand His words, and they'll receive more of His words and more of His blessings and more growth. But there are some who do not understand His words. For them, even the blessings that they experience now will be taken away when He returns to judge the world. Jesus' words can be either a blessing or a curse to us. They can either announce salvation or they can announce judgment to us. That is why Jesus tells us to take heed to what we hear. And so for us who believe, He is entrusting us with these words, and He has given them to us for a purpose, to bear fruit. Remember the parable of the sower. The good soil is the one where the sown word bears an abundant harvest. And yet notice that not every seed has the same yield. For some the word bears 30-fold. For some 60-fold. For some 100-fold. Don't be content with the small yield when there is opportunity for you to bear a greater yield. For the Lord would have us to take heed to what we hear and strive for greater growth and fruit. Lastly, let me end our message for today with some final encouragement. There are three parables in this passage about seeds and growth. In the parable of the sower, we see there is a sower. That sower is God. In the parable of the growing seed in verses 26 to 29, there is a man who scattered seed but doesn't know how the seed sprouts and grows. That growth comes from God. In the parable of the mustard seed in verses 30 through 32, the mustard seed is seen as something so tiny and yet grows into something so amazing. It says, the seed is the kingdom of God. God is behind all three of these parables. And all these three parables then encourage us that it is God who is at work to grow us as Christians. For if you are one who hears, if you are one who hears God's word, then praise God and give Him the glory. For it is God who has sown the seed in your hearts. It is God who brings the growth in your lives. It is God who brings you into His marvelous kingdom. It is God who brings the very kingdom power into your heart right now. Though the world might think God's kingdom is insignificant, like only a mustard seed, we know that it is something far better. And we look forward to that final appearing of that great kingdom. That day when the great Lord of the harvest will return to reap the fruit of His work. On that day, our crop and fruit will be complete. We will have bore the harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold as Christ promised. And on that day, we will not take the credit. No, we will praise our glorious Lord and Savior, the Lord who sows, the Lord who grows, the Lord who reaps. And we will thank Him for revealing the very mystery of the kingdom to us. Isn't His grace amazing? Amen. Let us pray.